another example of how to spin a story. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Great to be with you, Barry. Recovering nicely from our little vacation for Christmas. Say a prayer for my daughters. They all work retail, and this being the day after Christmas, I'm quite sure that they're being inundated. This is the second busiest day in any store statistically during the year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that. It is as people bring in returns, try to exchange things. For some reason, everybody wants to do it the day after Christmas.
Well, they're hoping to get those few remaining things that now go on clearance because Christmas is over with.
Yeah, well, I did a little bit of that pre-Christmas. I waited till the prices on something that I wanted, and I went out, and price came down very precipitously, and I then took the plunge.
Good for you. Well, I'll tell you one thing that I don't think is going to get returned very soon by anybody, and that is something that was flying off the shelves right before Christmas, but it wasn't because they're great stocking stuffers, Chuck. It's because people are concerned, and they are purchasing them before they're gone. And I'm talking about firearms. We spent last week talking about some of the fallout and some of the misapplications after the Sandy Hook school shooting in relation to firearms. And as we were looking this week at doing this series on propaganda in the media and how to spot it, we ran across another avenue about firearms, another set of stories attempting to reflect a bias while appearing objective. And today's example, Chuck, comes to us from Reuters, their U.S. edition, online at Reuters.com. It's an article called Gun Enthusiasts Pack Shows to Buy Assault Weapons. And Chuck, if you could have asked for a better textbook example of how to try to tell a story to smear the subject.
Oh, absolutely. This is a propaganda piece, pure and simple. Now, unlike a lot of attempts to make it appear that news is not biased, this is a signed piece. So at least you know it's written by two guys, Dave Warner and Kevin Murphy, from Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Kansas City, Missouri. But Reuters, interestingly enough, keep this in mind, this, you have to remember where Reuters is headquartered and who owns it, what type of company it is. It is a media company that is headquartered in London, England. England, for years, has been attempting to, well, since, as we've said in an earlier show, since 1775.
That's right.
Has been trying to get Americans to change their gun laws. Unsuccessfully attempted to change the gun laws here in America by force. Didn't work out so well.
They ended up
losing 13 colonies, not to mention all the land from sea to shining sea that they once claimed. This is a very interesting attempt to paint a picture with words. And the words that they're using are what we call, they bring up a picture in the reader's mind, but they really don't have a definition.
That's true, because the word assault weapon has been bandied about now and could describe just about any type of firearm because there's never a definition attached to the term.
Now, I'm going to draw people's attention to an article that I posted on the Principled Policy blog, www.principledpolicy.com. I posted this on the 20th of December from an article that I found on a site called Texas Fish and Game. And we just simply ran the first three paragraphs and pointed people over to that particular article. And I will point you back at that article. It will be posted on our website. That's www.principledpolicy.com. It's simply, what is a quote-unquote assault weapon? And they attempt to answer that question, and here's what the writer, a Dustin Ellerman, says. The phrase assault weapons has no real definition, and that is an absolute fact. It has no real definition. It is a gun banner's coin phrase created to hopefully confuse people with, quote-unquote, assault rifles.
That's right, which is a totally different set of firearm.
That's right. And Barry, let's define it. An assault rifle is a weapon that is designed to shoot a medium caliber cartridge. That means somewhere between usually 223 up to about maybe a 35 caliber. Much above that really becomes a much different weapon. But an assault rifle is capable of switchable full automatic fire. In other words, when I say full automatic, I mean you hold the trigger down and it'll pump bullets out as long as there are cartridges in the magazine.
It's also capable of burst-style firing as well.
That's right. Press the button for a second or two, and you will get bursts up to between 3 and 10 rounds or so. Usually about 4, 5, 6, 7 rounds. A true assault rifle is a select-fire, either fully automatic or burst-capable rifle that uses an intermediate cartridge and a detachable magazine. This is all from that article. Let's go back over and see what Reuters has to say. Gun enthusiasts thronged to shows around the country on Saturday to buy assault weapons they fear will soon be outlawed after a massacre of school children. Again, there is a phrase that I avoided all last week. I may have said it once and I didn't mean to. That is the massacre. These were murders, and they might be construed as being massacres, but massacre holds a specific type of picture that it draws in the reader or the hearer of the word. It's an emotional word. It's designed to bring a feeling of outrage and injustice. I think this was an outrage and an injustice, but I'm outraged at the injustice of the fact that people were not allowed to defend themselves from this person because they were in a gun-free zone. And someone who was disobeying gun laws was also obeying a gun-free zone law. Big shock. But what is the Reuters writer attempting to, what's the picture he's attempting to draw?
Well, he's attempting to draw that every gun in the room is an assault weapon.
That's it. That's exactly right. You've been to a gun show relatively recently, haven't you?
Yeah.
What was available?
Let's see. Handguns, shotguns, single fire and small clips rifle, hunting rifles, and sporting guns like the AR-15 in .223 or in, not in .308. It's hard to get them in .308 anymore. So.
Well, that's true. It is.
So basically, and a lot of accessories from sight to magazines to parts and pieces for fixing a firearm that you might have. You know, there are a lot of things there. Chuck, for goodness sakes, I bought a recurve hunting bow at a gun show one time. Now, is that an assault weapon?
When I was there, there were 3 tables of knives.
And knives, yeah, exactly. And some people bring coin collections. You know, a couple up in Columbus that go to the gun show there in Columbus faithfully passing out tracts about constitutional government.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things there. You can sign up and take classes on gun safety. You can sign up and take classes on concealed carry. You can sign up and take classes on all basic shooting, basic gun safety, basic target practice.
During political season, you can even sign up to help a candidate or take a yard sign.
Man, if you are a conservative candidate and you don't have people at gun shows getting petitions passed or handing out literature, you're missing a golden opportunity.
Absolutely.
If you are pro-Second Amendment.
The one thing, I'll let you go on, but I do want to point out something about this article that I thought was very telling. In this article, the two authors, Warner and Murphy, go down here and they put something in here, which I can guarantee you that they did for sensationalistic purposes and to emotionally connect their story to what was happening with the reaction to the Sandy Hook shooting. And they say in one paragraph, quote, an AR-15 type assault weapon was among the guns authorities believe suspect Adam Lanza stole from his mother to use in the massacre of 20 school children, 6 adults at a Newtown, Connecticut elementary school on December 14th. The problem with that paragraph, Chuck, it was among an AR-15 type assault weapon. He had a Bushmaster 223, which looks like an AR-15, but it's basically shooting a sporting round. And he did steal it from his mother. She owned it legally, but he never used it in the assault. It was locked in his car.
And now there's some controversy over that. I don't know if you heard that or not.
No, I hadn't heard that lately.
Some people are saying he had it, and other people are saying he didn't. So
I would assume that when they come back with forensics, they'll figure out whether he had it.
Well, because I can tell you right up front, a Glock shoots a 9mm round, which is about a .35 caliber, and a .223 is a .22 caliber.
Yes, it is.
It's a very, very different round. It has a very different set of characteristics. And that being said, we may never know the entire facts because this is devolving into stories like this from Reuters. In fact, all you have to do is read the way very sensationalized style story.
Right. Well, And this story is filled with that, because if you look at it, every time they talk about it, they talk about an AR-15 type or style of weapon. And what they're talking about, Chuck, are things like a Bushmaster 223 or something that fires 30-30 or something. It doesn't fire a 308 or a 7.62x39 round. It's not an AR-15. It's an AR-15 type or an AR-15 style. That's so that they can mix in guns that are legal to own and to use with certain rifles that aren't.
Well, for instance, you could buy an AR-15 with a 308 upper.
Yeah.
And by that I mean chambered for 308, it'll fire a 308 round. But almost nobody has one of those. A, it's exceedingly expensive. That's like a $3,000 gun. And the 223, when I bought one years ago, and I've had an AR-15 in the past, a very nice one, a Colt, cost me about $500 used, very lightly used. Nowadays, with this fooling around with gun laws, $1,500, you might be able to find one for $1,200 or maybe $1,000 if it's beat up. But the fact is that people are correct. All they have to do is read this story in Reuters and know that the authors are not angling to give facts. They are angling to create a psychological environment in which people will demand the confiscation and the banning of quote-unquote AR-15 style or AR-15 type assault weapons. And again, as we've said, there is no such thing. There is no definition to the phrase assault weapon.
That's right. There is none. That doesn't stop our intrepid pair, Chuck, because in another segment of this, in order to try to make you think that there's this huge rush of these rabid people looking to buy assault weapons, they have this little chestnut. More than 200 people lined up at each of the three entrances on Saturday morning to pay the $8 entrance fee to the Will Rogers Memorial Center in Fort Worth, which has an exhibit hall spanning 25 acres. They crowded the aisles of the show and stood too deep at booths for assault weapons and ammunition clips. You know, Chuck, I grew up in the country. I know how big 25 acres is. If you've got 200 people, even if you had 600 people, that's only 30 people per acre. I don't think that they were like plugging the aisles and standing deep. It might have been standing two and three deep at certain booths, but it wasn't over the entire 25 acres, if the Will Rogers Center is even 25 acres large.
It may be that large. Barry, I've been to gun shows at the Vets Memorial.
Yes.
Well, that's got a huge floor.
It does.
But we weren't on the whole floor.
No, of course not.
What this is making it sound like is that they're all 25 acres was taken up with a gun show. No, that's the size of the building. They may have had 4 or 5 acres rented, maybe. Even that's a lot. That's 200,000 square feet or more. That's more than 200,000 square feet. That's a lot of acreage, Barry.
Yes, it is.
It's
a bunch of acreage.
That's a lot of square footage. Basically, what they're saying is 600 people lined up to get in. Well, 600 people on an area that's 200,000 square feet, you certainly want to draw a bigger crowd than that to fill up 200,000 plus square feet.
That would actually be considered a failure of a gun show if you only had that many people.
I was going to say, that's a crummy gun show. I mean, I've been to some that were shoulder to shoulder and probably with, oh gosh, maybe 3, 4, 5 acres worth of, and they're shoulder to shoulder. What's the point behind this? Well, they're trying to make it look like there's all these rednecks, basically, who are out there attempting to get their weapons quick before the ban comes along. This whole thing about loopholes at gun shows. Well, guess what? Well, the only people there's a loophole from at a gun show are private gun sales. If you buy a gun at a gun show from a dealer,
You got to do the paperwork.
Paperwork. There's no loophole at a gun show unless you buy from somebody who's carrying around a rifle that says for sale on it. And you do a private transaction with that individual who's not a dealer. That's completely legal. So what they want to do is, what they really want to do, the back door here, they want to stop transfers between individuals.
Yes, they do.
That's what the loophole is. In other words, the government wants to know if you sell your pistol to your neighbor, and you got to decide whether that is something that you want to have happen or not. It's something I don't want to see happen. Now, guess what, Barry? I just looked at the clock.
We're out of time.
We haven't even touched this.
Well, and I'm out of patience with outlets like Reuters who want to basically write an opinion piece and make it look like it's unbiased news.
And hopefully we'll be able to come back to this when we've got some more time to record, because we do have an article that takes a very close look at this article and pinpoints the bias. So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.